We've all got scars, some on the outside and some on the inside. But we can't be defined by our scars. I've spoken with some extraordinary people about how they've become empowered by their scars. This is I've Got Scars, Baby. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, I understand the whole concept of therapy may seem a bit uncomfortable for some, but I like to think of it this way. Some of the greatest athletes you know have had a coach to point out to them ways to improve their game. Some of the most talented actors have attended workshops to improve their craft. And some of the wealthiest CEOs owe their success to mentors. What if we thought of therapy in the same way? What if we looked at therapy as another set of eyes to help us figure out how to get to our next level of success? This is not about stigma. This is about strategy. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy can help. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself and turn your scars into your superpower. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and I've Got Scars, Baby listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/I've Got Scars, Baby. That's betterhelp.com/I've Got Scars, Baby.
All right. So I am so excited right now. I have a very special guest on the show. Man, he has a story to tell. His name is Mike Love, and he is a lung transplant recipient. Woo! That's a lot right there. I mean, any type of organ of any sort, and you are a recipient of it, you had a transplant, like, that's a lot. But you don't really hear too many times where someone says they've had a lung transplant. So I'm excited to have you on the show because you have a very powerful story, and your story is one of those situations where I just feel like it just makes you think to yourself, you know what? I'm going to be grateful for every beautiful moment in my life. So thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yes, I want to first just kind of start off just with your story, because when you were letting me know, I was like, "Woo!" So how did you get to this place where, you know, what was going on where you're like, something's not right. I need to figure out what's going on with my body. What's happening? What was that for you?
Well, I had gotten to the point where I was short of breath and I was getting tired easily. Mm-hmm. And I thought, because I used to smoke, that's what it was. My lungs were going through a healing process, and in time it would be okay. And as time went on, it got worse. So I ended up in the ER because I couldn't move at all. I was trying to go to work, and it was a struggle to get out of the house. It was a struggle to get to the truck. And when I got to work, it was a struggle to get to the building. So I ended up going to the ER and got this diagnosis after they took the x-rays of my chest. And basically they were like, we need you to see this lung specialist. And they made an appointment. Mm-hmm. Next day I go and I get a diagnosis that I have idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which is basically the scarring of the tissues of the lung. And I had the conversation with the doctor, and I'm like, okay, and I'm being me because I'm like full of life, and I'm like, okay, so what are we gonna do? What steroid are we gonna treat this with?
Yeah.
And he paused and he said, well, there is no steroid. And I didn't really react at that point because with technology now, I'm figuring they could do something fantastic and we'll be good to go. And he just informed me. He said, hey, your only recourse is a double lung transplant. And if you don't have it, you've got 2 years to live.
Wow. And so did they say what caused this? Was it the smoking initially? Like, was it, or is this just kind of an anomaly or something?
Somewhere in the course of my life, I was exposed to some chemical, and it was a chemical exposure. It had absolutely nothing to do with me smoking. Somewhere I got exposed to a chemical and it caused my lungs to start deteriorating.
Wow. And so how did you feel when you hear 2 years? What was that for you?
I kind of like blanked out, because it's like, I got this person telling me I got 2 years to live. And that was the focus for the rest of that day and the next day, or for a period of time thereafter. I've got 2 years to live. The only way I can explain it is that at the point he told me I had 2 years to live, my world just turned black, because I didn't know what the next step was going to be, what I was going to do, and how this was going to work out.
Yeah. Did you have friends and people in your life? Like, what were people around you saying? Do you feel like what they were saying was helpful for you or not?
Initially, mm-hmm. I did not tell anyone anything. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't tell anybody. I didn't share what was going on with me until I absolutely had to, because my thought process was, I'm a fighter, I'm gonna do this. And when anybody knows, I'm just gonna be in the hospital, you can come visit me then. They don't need to know why. And I don't even know why I thought that way, but that didn't last long. I started slowing down and I started trying to compensate for the fact that I couldn't move fast. And one of my key things was, I would always, whenever I needed to stop and catch my breath, I pulled out my phone and act like I either had a text message or I was texting somebody. That way, you know, when nobody really paying any attention. When I did tell my friends, I made sure that I told just my close inner circle. Mm-hmm. This wasn't something that I told everybody mm-hmm. that I knew, because I didn't want a lot of influences coming in on me while I was doing this, going through this journey. And my friends were very supportive, and all of them were basically on the same page. Okay, look, what is the doctor saying? Mm-hmm. What do you have to do? And then as it progressed, it turned from what do I have to do to what do you need me to do for you? And I'm so thankful for my friends. And then eventually I did tell my family.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for my friends and my family, because they were right there. They made life very easy for me, because it's a fight when you're fighting for your life.
Wow. So what was the healing process like? So you have the surgery, you have the transplant. What was it like being in this space of really just trying to heal? What was that experience for you?
The biggest part of it was, I was so thankful that this process was available. And I was thankful that God saw me through it, because I just couldn't imagine. I got somebody else's set of lungs in me. So going forward, I had to do what was required of me by my team of doctors. And then I had to basically forget about why I was here and focus on the fact that I'm here now and live life differently and a little bit more grateful than it was prior to. And part of my healing has been helping others that are on the same journey. When I was going through it, I didn't have anybody to talk to ask what could I expect, or how do I do this, or how do I do that? So I had to figure out a lot of things. And once I made it, one of my goals was to be, for lack of a better way of saying it, a mentor to other transplant patients, and especially lung transplants, because that's where I've been. And I would share my story with them. And it's encouraging to not only them, but to me.
Wow. I love that you say that, the aspect of really giving back, because I do think that that is healing in and of itself. It's for you. I know that one of the biggest things that you and I spoke about was how this experience shifted your view of life. For you, how would you say you view life prior to your diagnosis, and then after, or during the process, and then after the process?
Before, everything was, okay, I need to do this, I need to do that, let me do this, do that, and anything that happened, I did what I had to do to fix it. And then I'm in a situation where I can't help myself. I can't go to Lowe's or Home Depot and go get some lungs and pop them right in. And then I have this transplant. And when I come out of it, I look at the beauty in things differently. I'm grateful to God for him being there and making all of this available and giving him credit where credit is due, because I thank him for doing all of this. And now I don't take anything for granted. And a lot of times we take things for granted casually. It's not that we do it intentionally, we just do. And we've got to wake up and start seeing things for what they are and how they come to be. And with life now, I mean, I deal with everything, but I don't let things stress me out like I did before. That, you know, once you get to a point where you've had to fight for your life, nothing else seems that critical. And you just, I just handle things. I take care of my business, but it's like, okay, well, that happened. All right, we'll deal with it. And I go from there.
I love it. Wow. It is something. And that was one of the things I was sharing with you before we started the interview. And I was just like, a lot of times in life, it almost seems like in order for someone to get to a space of gratitude and get to a space where you're feeling, you know, just you just taking it one day at a time, you just not letting things worry you, is when you go through some real serious shenanigans where it's just like, oh, that was a scary situation. I don't ever want to experience that again. And then you're able to then just kind of relax and enjoy life in a different way. So, I think one of the things about life is to, how can you access that, that perspective without having to experience the trauma, you know, and just literally taking life. So that's why taking life in a way where you're just really grateful. And I think one way, so what is one way for you that you've been able to do that? Is it just simply the experience that changed things? Have you started doing anything different, like gratitude journals? I know that you said that you're helping other people right now. Is there something else that you started doing that you weren't doing before?
I haven't started writing anything down. I am in the process of writing a book.
Good.
And I never thought writing a book would be so emotional for me. Pinning my thoughts has never been a problem, but now doing this and reliving it, I think about a lot of things that I went through with this, but the primary thing that I've done has been helping other people, because I get a lot of satisfaction out of seeing someone else's situation eased. If you can do something for somebody to make it a little bit easier for them, that's my thankfulness right there. That's what I'm thankful for, being able to help you out. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's transplant related. And the thing about it is, sometimes all it costs you is about 5 or 10 minutes of your time. Mm-hmm. You know, the individual that you're speaking with could say something, you'd be like, oh, Audrey, you know what? I was there. This is what I did. Try it. This exactly may not work for you, but you can finesse it to your situation. Those kind of things has brought me a lot of joy.
I love that. That's so powerful. And I think sometimes we underestimate our influence in other people's lives. Like, we don't fully understand, like, you could truly be a blessing to somebody, just even whatever thing you've been through. It doesn't have to be a transplant. It could just be, you know, you went through a certain class and, you know, the person that hasn't gone through the class is like, oh my God, I'm so scared. How was it? What do I need to do? You know what I'm saying? Exactly. And just you saying, hey, you know, usually on Thursdays, they do this, they do a pop quiz or, you know, whatever that is. You have something to share and really being confident in, you know, sharing whatever wisdom or knowledge that you do have. I love that. So for you, how would you encourage people to get to a space where they're seeing life in a way that they feel empowered, they feel grateful, they feel like shifting their view of life without necessarily having to experience the tragedy? Like, what would you say to someone to just say, hey, from a person who knows, from a person who's been through the storm, this is what I encourage you to do?
I have two statements that I generally make to people. And the first one is, you need to be thankful for what you don't have. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I make that statement, I get that little, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, your house may have been burned up, but there are people who died in a fire. You need to be thankful for what you don't have. Mm-hmm. And the other statement that I make is, regardless of where you find yourself in life, there's always at least one person that would love to step up into your shoes. Mm-hmm. And after we have a little conversation about that, I'm like, hey, you need to lift your spirits. I understand this happened, but this didn't happen. And even if you don't have anything going on, when you hear that, those statements, that should be food for thought for you. Because in a way, like I said, we focus on certain things and we don't pay attention to a lot of things. And sometimes paying attention is not automatic for people. You got to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And, you know, if people can get to that point,
yeah,
I think the attitude of gratitude would be a little bit more prevalent.
Yeah, I like that. The bigger picture, I watched a movie and it, I feel like it illustrated it really well. He was actually a motivational speaker. And so he had a group of people with him and he took them out onto the streets of New York. So they went out like the front door, they're standing on the sidewalk and it was, you know, all these cars, all this noise, all these people rushing by and all that kind of stuff. So it was really busy, right? And so he was like, this is one perspective of life. And then he took everyone to the roof and he had everyone to look out at the vista and look out at the view from the top of the building. And it was a lot more quiet. You know, you could see a greater distance than you could when you were on the ground. And it was a different perspective of life. And I think from what you're saying is that if you're able to really look at things, not from a ground level, but maybe from, you know, the rooftop, and kind of see that things, you know, oh yeah, that could have been worse. Oh yeah, this is not so bad. Oh yeah, this, you know, this can be resolved in about a month. Oh yeah, I'm gonna pay that bill. Oh yeah, I'm gonna get out of debt in a minute.
Yeah.
Let me be grateful for what's going on. So I thank you so much for that. I think that's really, really wise. And I feel like one of the ways that I've been able to kind of help my end is to keep a gratitude journal and really focus in on, like, daily, focusing in on the things that I really am grateful for and seeing. And sometimes we don't understand where we've been in the past and how much of a blessing it is to be where we are right now.
Yes, I agree. you know, one of the hardest situations in all of this is, you know, I had a second transplant almost 3 years later. And the year started off, I had pneumonia. Mm. In February, I had pneumonia. March, I had double pneumonia. And that double pneumonia required that I was intubated for 8 days. And when I finally woke up, I had been out long enough where they told me that I couldn't walk. I had to go to rehab to learn how to walk again. So that was an additional month in a rehab facility. And after I came out of there, I was still having problems breathing. And it was just after, you know, some testing and whatnot, my transplant team told me that I was in chronic rejection and I needed a second transplant. And at that moment, because of the things that I had been through in the past, at that moment, I was really thankful.
Mm.
Because in between the time that I had the first one and the second one, I've met people that weren't transplant eligible.
Mm.
And for them to tell me that I could do it a second time, I didn't really want to,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we have to realize is that when we've been through something and something comes back, you made it the first time.
Mm.
That should be your own encouragement. Because if anything comes back, you can tackle it again and win. And that was my attitude when they told me I had to have a second transplant. So it was a different fight because I had different types of testing that I had to do. Physically, I was not as sick as I was with the first one, but the need was just as great,
yeah,
if that makes any sense. And I had to transplant. I had a lot of complications after the second transplant. And I was in the hospital 43 days mm-hmm. post-surgery. And I was still thankful because I have transplant friends that had been in the hospital months before they had to transplant because they were just that sick. And then they were in the hospital thereafter. And I only had to stay close to a month and a half, almost 2 months. And I was even grateful for that. So the whole experience, you know, because I guess what really rings true for me is that I could have died and that I'm still here. And there are people that left here for less.
Yeah.
So when I just think of my situation in terms of where I'm at and where it could be. And when I compare the difference, I'm like, hey, I can handle, this will be all right. Yeah. This will be fine.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I'm just sitting over here like in awe. In awe of just the attitude and your perspective and how you view your experience. That's so powerful. It's really, really powerful. And how are you doing today?
Right now, I am good. I had a doctor's appointment with my transplant team last week. I'm doing good with my numbers, and life is beautiful. I mean, as I shared with you before, I had a lot of storm. We had a storm here. I had a lot of storm damage, no power for like 4 days. I had to throw out everything in my freezer, everything in my refrigerator. The stuff is still there because the insurance adjuster just came, but I'm good. I can live in my house. Apparently, my electricity is back on.
It is. Yeah. And you told me a tree fell and it could have fallen on your house.
Yes, it could have. But it didn't. So I thank God for that. And even though I got a little disarray in my backyard, yeah, I didn't have no plans on being on my patio this week. So I'm good. You know, that kind of thing. I lost some things, but it's things that I can replace. So, it's okay.
I love it.
It's okay.
I love it. I love it so much. Mike, you better go ahead and speak the truth over here. You better encourage the people. Let it go. It's all right.
You know what? Now, Audra, I'm going to tell you this. Now, usually when I talk to people, I'm like, okay, look, you in this little situation. So you need to have your little personal pity party. But your pity party can only last no longer than a day. And when that is over with, you got to man up, woman up, and handle your business. And I had a friend tell me, she was like, what do you mean a personal pity party? I'm like, you having it now. Just to deal with your situation, come to terms with it, because you moping and pouting and everything ain't gonna help you. Adjust. And then you start fighting, whatever it is. Just start fighting. And in the midst of you starting to see progress in your situation, then that smile will start coming because you're like, oh, I got this. And then you keep going and it's done. We give a lot of power to things that should have absolutely no power whatsoever.
Wow. I like that you're saying giving power to something, because I think that's the difference, is that a lot of people feel like they don't have power in a certain situation or with a certain circumstance. And maybe some of the opposition that we face in life is to remind us of our power. But we have a choice to accept the power. But the idea is that maybe, when we're talking about the storm and the tree falling, maybe, a tree has fallen in other people's lives in certain ways. And the idea is to say, am I going to let this ruin my day? Am I going to let, this circumstance just completely overwhelm me so that I feel powerless or not? I love that there's a choice. And that's all I think is really most important is that we have a choice.
Exactly. I agree 100%. the one thing that I tell myself is, what you gonna do?
Yeah.
What you gonna do? You gonna let it... Are you going to let it do you, or are you going to do it? And that's a big difference. We all come against some circumstances, big or small. And it's like, okay, are you going to let it affect you, or are you going to affect it? And I want to affect it instead of it affecting me. So
I love it. I think it's fantastic. I think it's so powerful. And I'm so happy that you were able to share your very powerful story with our audience. And, it's only so much that you can get from this interview. So I think what they're going to do is they're going to be waiting on your book. I don't know when the book is coming out, but I want for anyone that's looking to connect with you, you know, maybe they do need some encouragement because they know someone that's going through a similar experience. How can people find you and connect with you?
Let's see. My Instagram is MYKALANDRE. That's my Instagram. And I'm Michael A. Love on Facebook.
Awesome. And is Michael spelled the traditional way or spelled the same way?
The traditional way.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I am so excited. Anybody, if you need some encouragement, you need a higher perspective on life, go ahead and reach out and just reach out to him. Mike Love, he is doing his thing. He is really, really, you are really about seeing life from a higher perspective, from that rooftop perspective. And I'm so grateful. So thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you.
You are quite welcome. Thank you for sharing your story and keep us posted on that book coming out, okay?
Will do.
All right now. Thank you so much.
All right now.